the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, best hour Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that covers, of course, your Arizona Cardinals. This is episode 613, the third of our Week 10 shows and the second of our two preview shows. With me is my co-host, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. And we actually, we get the Cardinals. This weekend, we've got the long weekend. We got a bye after the long weekend. So, you know, the Cardinals are such in a... This is such an important... This is a... I don't want to overplay it, but winning this game really sets them up for... Like, sets the division up in their favor for the rest of the season, right? It's... The 49ers haven't found their... kind of their ground yet, their footing. They play a tough Bucks team. They're scheduled. The Niners' schedule is rough. And the Cardinals can go 6-4 before the bye. And if they do it, they have like the inside track to winning the division, don't they?
Yeah, and that's what it really comes down to at this point, Jess, is like, how do they get to the end? San Francisco's coming off their bye. They're 4-4. They just had a game where they dominated and then let all the way back in the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't had that dominating performance really since the Seattle game, and even that was semi-dominating. The real last dominating performance that group has had was against that terrible New England team, right? And so You look at it, they should have a win this week. I mean, even though they're going to Tampa Bay is, you know, a flawed and incredibly injured team at this point. But from there, man, it gets rough, like you said. And so that's why it's so big, right? Like, you come out of this game 6-4. Let's just say the Niners win and they're 5-4. You still have basically a 1.5 game lead. The one extra game you've played, and then you've got the game in hand over them in the division. And then they go Seattle to Green Bay to Buffalo. And that's a daunting task when you, on the flip side for the Arizona Cardinals, as we've talked about, they're going, you know, they have New York, they have the bye, and then at Seattle, at Minnesota, and Seattle. And we talked about it, that Seattle team's not...
They've lost looking, 5 of the last 6.
Yeah, not looking as good. Minnesota's come screaming back down to earth. Even at 6-2, right? Like, they lost to the Lions and then the Rams, and then they barely beat the Indianapolis Colts, who were playing the corpse of Joe Flacco. Like, this is a... this is a really interesting time for the Cardinals to potentially take advantage, like you said, and potentially be a little, you know, carve themselves a little breathing room. And the breathing room itself will do more than just talk about the division. It would give them breathing room for likely making the playoffs, which is, you know, at this point, as we said, the goal should be, they're sitting at 5-4. The goal the rest of the way, you know, with the schedule in front of them, should be no worse than 4-5, which puts them at 9-8 on earth, 4-4, excuse me, which puts them at 9-8 on the season, a winning season, and contending for, you know, one of those playoff spots in the NFC. And then every win from there, you know, it's something we'll talk about as you go forward, is it resets that expectation. And that's how we've done it before. That's how we did it last year when they were bad. Now we're doing it this year when they're average. And so that's the key thing. And it starts this week with the New York Jets team that, you know, quite frankly, nobody knows what to make of this team. They're They're 3-6, but sitting second in the NFC West because, or sorry, the AFC East, because the AFC East is terrible. But they're 25th in points scored per game. They're 10th in points against per game. Their defensive numbers, they're 4th in yards per game. They're 2nd against the pass. They're 2nd against the pass, but they're 21st against the run, Jess. Now, they are 8th overall in yards per attempt against the run. So
that's always the number that I like looking at in terms of an efficiency against the run, which that number – 4.3 yards per carry they allow at number 8. That doesn't match the amount of yards they allow. I don't understand. Now, granted, we'll say this, is that teams are able to, they've been, because the Jets offense has been bad, they're able to go into slowdown mode, which can sometimes, with some teams, slow down their rushing efficiency. It doesn't seem to do that to the Cardinals, because when they go into the closeout mode, it seems, you know, with James Conner, they tend to gain more, unless it's an absolute blowout, and then you're given carries to DJ Dallas and Amari DiMercato and Trey Benson. And so I look at that number, I'm like, that's, to me, that's the puzzling statistic. Because when we've looked at previous game set, you know, what we've done every week is, that team's great against the run, but look at the yards per carry. And then what do we see the Cardinals go and do? They go off on them. And so,
yeah, and so the yards per carry is going to be interesting, Jess, but this is a team that's incredibly banged up right now. I mean, obviously, we're recording on Thursday night, so we won't really have any clear picture on anything until Friday evening, potentially Saturday. But I mean, you look at it, you've got both CJ Mosley, Solomon Thomas, on both do not practice.
Mosley missed 2 days in a row. Thomas missed 2 days in a row. Vera Tucker missed 2 days in a row. They had 4 of their 5 offensive line starters out on Wednesday. Now, granted, Smith was rest, but
Morgan Moses was also hurt, as you mentioned, with Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, and Moses and Simpson were limited on Thursday. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
The defense is still the calling card, right? I mean, this defense is very good.
And their pass rush is very good.
Yeah, Will McDonald has 8 sacks. Quinnen Williams has 5 sacks. Michael Clemens, 4.5 sacks. So those guys right there combined for 17.5 sacks.
And that's going against the Tristan Colon, Calvin Beecham guys. So
right. And so that grouping is really good. On top of that, you have McDonald and Williams with 14 and 13 hits on the quarterback, respectively. They're excellent rushing the passer. Their defensive backs are talented. DJ Reed, Tony Adams, who I think, did we forget to mention he was missing as well? He was back this week. Sorry.
Yeah, he's full. He's been full this week.
Okay, it was the other one, the backup, Michael Carter, that's missing. Sorry. Tony Adams, Jalen Mills, Sauce Gardner, Isaiah Oliver. I mean, they have a plethora of talent.
It makes no sense why they are doing as poorly as they are this year.
But they do a good job against the pass, Jazz. I mean, we can't deny that. They've done really well against the pass. The one thing that they don't do is they don't get interceptions. They only have 2 on the season. In fact, as a group, they just don't they don't cause turnovers very much. They only have 7 on the season, which is odd for a team that
rushes the passer well and defends the pass really well.
But it does speak to the situation where, you know, they have 278 rushing attempts against them. So point of reference, that is 28th in the NFL, meaning the 5th most rushing attempts against.
Yeah, you look at these numbers, like since the beginning of the year, 180, 130, 78 against the Patriots. Okay, they're terrible. 126. The Vikings only ran for 82. and the Texans 187. Right.
Yeah, and I mean that's what the expectation is when you look at the matchups that we'll discuss. Like, this is a team. The last 4 weeks, Jess, and they're 1-3, and you look at the passing numbers, Jess, and it's bad. I mean, against their defense, I mean, it's bad. I mean, 210 by Josh Allen. You know, I think all of us will agree that Josh Allen's a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. 260 by the Steelers, but they that was a weird game for those that watched it, right? 136 by the Patriots. Again, they lost that game. And then 135 by C.J. Stroud. But on the flip side, they're giving up over 150 yards rushing per game, and that's why every team either beat them or was close to beating them. Because I get analytics. I get all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, with the way that football works, if you can't stop the run and teams are able to impose their will on you, it really just becomes really hard to have success, because every situation becomes must score. Because the reality is, you're not going to get the ball back. And so, and it's something we've seen the Cardinals have trouble with, right, Jess? Like, oh, if we don't score, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And you go, and so now everybody's pressing. I mean, every single person's pressing. And so when you look at it from that perspective, the troubles make sense. And so as you expertly pointed out, like, oh yeah, it's you know, the rush yards per attempt's not impressive by any means, but they're 21st against the run in the NFL. Like, these are teams that are just like, we're just going to run the crap out of the ball. Like, we'll let you stop us through the air. Thanks, guys. Like, we're just going to run the crap out of the ball. And it's showing just how one-dimensional this team is, and how much they have to produce effectively on offense to have a chance. Because again, like, and I don't want to take anything away from what the Cardinals defense, especially the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, have done. I know they gave up a bunch of yards and points to the Dolphins, but that was on the road and in a game where Tua was back. But you know, you look at it, those last three games, Chargers, Dolphins, and Bears, they've played very well. And I still don't think that there's a single soul in this world that would be like, yeah, I wouldn't trade this team for the Jets defense, right? You'd be like, yeah, we'll swap that one for one. No issues. And again, it's not a shot at anybody, any person, any situation. It's just the Jets defense, very talented. And if you put this Jets defense in Arizona, I mean, we're talking about a team that probably is, you know, 7-2, maybe
right,
6-3. Like that's the difference. And so that's just how bad the offense has been. But again, the kind of raw overall numbers aren't terrible, except the rushing numbers. The rushing numbers are putrid. First off, 31st in rushing attempts, so second to last in the NFL, 30th in rushing yards, 28th in rushing touchdowns, and then 28th in yards per attempt. They're averaging 4 yards per carry with Breece Hall and Braylon Allen in the backfield. Like, it literally makes no sense.
Right. This offense, honestly, is so puzzling, because look, compare the names that the Cardinals have. You've got James Conner, Trey McBride, Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. And then you compare the skilled players for the Jets and add on top of that Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Breece Hall, Tyler Conklin. At the start of the season, so we're talking, you had Mike Williams, you had Garrett Wilson. And now you add on top of that Devontae Adams. Well, and they had Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard's out. They traded Mike Williams. But you look at this, you look at these skill players, and this should be a great offense, and it has been anything but great. You're getting great production from Garrett Wilson, leads the NFL with 60 receptions right now. And Davante Adams in that win against the Texans was fantastic. You know, especially late in the game, there's that familiarity. But Breece Hall's having a, you know, he's having a good season. But there's nothing about this offense. You're like, this offense should be good, and they are objectively not. I mean, they scored 22 and 20 in the last 2 weeks. But in their losing streak, it was 9, 17, 20, and 15 points. And more importantly, what's different this year about Aaron Rodgers is that the guy that has the lowest interception percentage in NFL history, he's got 7 interceptions in 9 games. And I think that's kind of the difference, is that I don't know if this is true. When I talked to Larry Brown Jr. on the last podcast, they've been running the offense that they ran in Green Bay, so they've been running 11 personnel, when they might be more suited to have a scheme that's more like what the Cardinals do, building with the 2 and 3 tight settings, and then doing it after that. But like, Aaron Rodgers has been running this same offense his entire career and has been great. I just, it's so puzzling to me. And it's almost, you know what it feels like? That because Aaron Rodgers is back, everyone on that roster is pressing. And they, you know, they need to relax, but guess what? They can't relax, because if they lose this game, their season basically is done. If they lose against the Cardinals, they are basically done. If they win, they have the slightest chance, because their final several games aren't, you know, great. They get the Colts, winnable. They get the Seahawks, winnable. Dolphins, probably winnable. Jacksonville, winnable. Except like you look at the 8 games left on their schedule. 7 games on the schedule. You feel confident that, you know, in a coin flip, they could probably win 6 of them. Just based on winnability. But if they lose a 7th game, I don't know if this Jets team is built to handle that failure. And Aaron Rodgers, as great as a teammate as he looked like in the Hard Knocks of last season, he's not being that unifying guy. He's a great quarterback. He's fantastic. But I think that there's a little bit of disconnect between him and his teammates. For whatever reason, he's not galvanizing people in what you want to see from a guy like Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say this on this podcast, so beep it out if I don't, but he comes off as a prick this year, right? Like, you're just kind of like, what is wrong with you, man? And I know he's a weird dude. I get it.
And he had really good things to say about Buda Baker, though.
He did. And you know, he's an interesting guy, and you know, all the personal stuff aside, right? Like, that's been his person. Like, he's kind of gruff. He's kind of been just a jerk this year, and it's an interesting thing. And then you look at it, just like, This is, and trust, Jess and I are extremely excited about what is being built. Okay. So I want that to be the very first thing I say before I get into this. But this is the Jets are the proverbial warning of why you don't just assume that adding veteran talent or free agents or high draft picks to your offensive line fixes things. The Jets offensive line is, I don't know. I mean, do we use the word bad? Do we say really bad? Like, how do we describe them, Jess? They're not good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're it's a weird, I don't know.
And so and they have a second round pick that Jess and I included, everybody loved Joe Tippmann coming out, and he's played well, don't get me wrong, but everybody loved Joe Tippmann coming out of Wisconsin last year. And remember, that was the, he's probably going to be better than Yelda Froholt, right? Like, go get him. They went and signed a future Hall of Famer in Tyron Smith, who's been healthy the whole season, which is a miracle in itself, right? And he's been fine. I mean, he hasn't been, he's played at a good level, just not great. They went and signed John Simpson to a nice, relatively good contract for 2 years. Elijah Vera Tucker is a former first-round pick. They went and signed Morgan Moses to a big contract. They drafted Ola Fashanu in the first round. Like, they invested heavily along that offensive line, and it's really just not very good. And some of it has been injuries. Elijah Vera Tucker, Morgan Moses both missed time this year. That's caused them to have to go to their backups, who just haven't been good at all, if we're being completely honest, Fashanu being one of them. And then they have, on paper, probably one of the better grouping of skill players in the league. Would you not agree with that? Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson.
They sound better than the Cardinals. They sound better than the Cardinals, like, across the board, because you think Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, you give the edge to Aaron Rodgers, James Conner, Breece Hall. Honestly, around the league, you'd probably make it even. Conner is a little different player. Tyler Conklin, Trey McBride, okay, McBride. But the receivers that the Cardinals have are definitely below the receivers that the Jets started with. And then they added Devontae Adams on top of that.
Right. And so it's been a super odd year for them, like you said, offensively. And then you go to the flip side, and defensively, they're borderline great, Jess. And they fired their head coach, who was a defensive guy, and Robert Saleh. And then didn't improve. That's another conversation for another day. But I mean, their leader, CJ Mosley, has been down most of the season. I mean, that's going to kill any team. And he was a guy, remember, the Cardinals went hard after a couple years ago, right? Like,
yeah.
And now he's understandably on the back end of his career. I mean, you're talking about an all-pro level guy for a long time. And he's, 32 now. He's on the back end of his career. But he's still playing at a high level when he's out there. DJ Reed, Isaiah Oliver, Sauce Gardner. Probably the best trio of corners in the league, playing really well. They've got Quinnen Williams, who's turned into a star. I mean, this is a defense that's just loaded for bear. And you look at it, and you're just not getting much. And I think that's an odd thing, because the offense is putting them in such bad position. They struggle against the run, as you noted, and they're not what anybody expected them to be, and now it's getting to that point where, like you said, it's becoming desperation. And they, let's be honest, they look decent on Thanksgiving or Halloween. They're still outgained 322-293. Turnover battle was equal, but for the most part, they did a nice job. Now it's a different beast when you come and play the Arizona Cardinals, because the Texans are built to rely on CJ Stroud, even with all the injuries along to his weapons. They still want to rely on CJ Stroud to do things. Now you're going to go up against a guy and Kyler Murray, who's shown the last several weeks that he's quite frankly fine being the guy that, or I guess two of the last 3 weeks, that he's fine being the guy that hands the ball off and watches James Conner and last week Trey Benson and Amari DiMercato really carry the load, and it's not something that they that he's afraid to or ashamed to or unwilling to do consistently. And so that's going to be what's interesting this week in this matchup, just because I just don't, on paper, where is there an advantage for the Cardinals? Let's be honest. Like, where's the advantage? But then you just look at how their games have played out this year, and the reality is it's that's why football is not played on paper, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just weird like that. Okay, let's move into that matchup. So coming next on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, best our Cardinals talk on the web. We'll move on and talk about the specific. We'll talk about the specific matchup this game that's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. Back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best our Cardinals talk on the web. Looking at the matchups in this game, the Cardinals, the Jets, the keys. I think Seth and I have discussed already. Like, if we're looking at, like, I guess key number one, and you've got to do what they've done well this year, and do what the Jets have not done, have done poorly against, and that's they need to run the ball. They need to keep running the ball, and I think especially with the pass rushing ability that they have, they especially need to do that, because the Jets' best pass rushers match up primarily against the weakest part of the Cardinals' offensive line.
Jess, this is a completely crazy game in the sense that pretty much every Cardinals weakness is a Jets strength. And yet, and I know we haven't got to this portion. Oh, the line has flipped. Holy cow, I didn't notice that. But
Oh, like in the last 20 minutes, the Jets have gone from underdogs to favorites.
Yeah, so it's interesting, though, to look at it, Jess, because I mean, you just noted Quinnen Williams, Will McDonald against Tristan Colon, Isaiah Adams, and then obviously Kelvin Beachum. That's advantage Jets. Okay, so we go there. And then you look at it and you go, okay, well, they've got Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams. I think Lazard's out this week probably, right?
But yes, Lazard's, I think, on the IR.
Yeah. So, but that's advantage Jets, so you look at it and you go, okay. And then if most of their O-line is healthy with Breece Hall at running back, you're like, okay, that's advantage Jets. And then you go, why is this a 1.5-point game at this point? Like, what are we, like, what's happening? And so that's the interesting thing. Again, on paper, the Jets are clearly the superior team. There's no two ways around it. They've got more talent on the defensive side of the ball. They have more talent on the offensive side of the ball. The places the Cardinals should be able to win. Now, again, CJ Mosley is likely out in this game. He's barely played this year. But, their front is strong. I mean, they're still a good defense up front. Only allow 4 yards per carry, 4.3 yards per carry, eighth best in the NFL. You're like, this is a defense built to stop the run, force teams to throw the ball, that has an elite interior pass rusher, a good exterior, edge pass rusher, and dominant to elite corners. And you're like, this is going to be a long day. And then you look at their games, and you're like, oh, you can just run the ball down their throat, and it is what it is. Like, and then if they want to load the box, they don't. Again, they're not bad against the pass. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying they're bad against the pass, but they don't create turnovers, and they have had games where they've been picked on. And so it's just, it's weird, Jess, because this is just not something that you would expect from this team. I mean, and you look at how their season has gone and how their games have gone and that, that 5-game losing streak where, I mean, look at the numbers, Jess. They had a 5-game losing streak. They lost to the Broncos 10-9. They gave up 186 yards of total offense. They had 250 yards of total offense and lost. The next week against the Minnesota Vikings. They lose 23-17. The yards is even, but the Jets turn the ball over three times. You know, the next week against the Bills, they outgame them 393 to 359, and they lose 20-23. The only game that, like, on paper they should have lost was that Steelers game, right? And every week they go in and they have matchup advantages just like they do against the Cardinals coming in. I mean, just the exact same, Jess. And they lose. And so that's where I think, especially for you and I, our trepidation sets in. It's like, this team should be better. And they weren't necessarily all the way better last week in their win against the Texans, but they started to piece it together just a little bit. And that's where our trepidation comes in. It's like, okay, was that a one-off after five losses in a row? Or are they starting to find their footing and they're going to turn the corner now? And that's what you and I have questions about, because the reality of the situation is, should the Cardinals be able to run the football against this team consistently? Based on the numbers, yes. Based on the personnel, probably not. But if they are able to take advantage of that and they're able to be a team, and can, I mean, 187 yards rushing they gave up last week, Jess, that's absurd. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Texans are a very good offensive team, but, you know, they're not the Cardinals when it comes to running the ball. They're just outside the top 10 in every statistical category running the football. And they had 187 yards rushing against the Jets. Like, that's just so baffling to me. And so this week you look at it and you have a Cardinals team that's, you know, in the top 10 rushing the football, number two in yards per attempt rushing the football, against the 28th ranked rushing defense in yards allowed. Now, eighth in rushing yards per attempt, but 28th in yards allowed. And it's like, that's the matchup, Jess. Nothing else matters, because the reality is, again, on paper, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams against Starling Thomas and Garrett Williams. Love both those guys. They played their butts off this year, playing way above their skis in terms of Thomas turning into a young, maybe star in Garrett Williams, right? But the Jets are, I mean, those receivers are better. I mean, those are two all pro level receivers against up and coming corners. The Cardinals, I mean, yeah, six sacks last week, fantastic, but they don't really have a great pass rush against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It just, nothing in this game says to anybody like, oh, the Cardinals should be favored. And yet, and I know it just flipped, but, and yet you look at this and you're like, this is a coin flip to everybody, because you don't know what you're going to get and you haven't got anything consistent from the Jets this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, matchups we're going to watch are going to definitely involve Sauce versus Marv. That'll be fun. We're going to see Star or Max or however they match up against Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams. Those are going to be fun to watch. And then we already talked about, you know, Will McDonald versus Kelvin Beachum. You know, don't get too excited with the two sack performance of Zaven Collins, because he's going against, you know, an actual starter in Tyron Smith. And that's not to discount what I think or what we think about Zaven Collins, but in terms of pass rushing production, his sacks come solely against, and that they're, the Cardinals have 11 of their sacks this season in two games. But I want to see the defensive interior playing with the same sort of speed and pursuit as they did against the Bears. And that was mainly, like, if we're looking at two guys, Dante Stills and LJ Collier looked fantastic in that game. And Stills really, is quietly having himself a very nice season, as once again he found himself playing more. He's, like I saw Kyle Rudegard drop it, that is, he's ninth in run stop percentage analytically, and he's had a partial sack at least in the last three games. He's really heating up.
Yeah, and Stills is a guy that we've talked about for the last couple, you know, since he was drafted last year, of like, he is the ideal kind of interior lineman, rotational guy, especially with his pass rush motor. And the fact is, like you said, he's playing extremely well for a guy that was drafted where he was drafted. To see him continue to grow into that, he's a guy to watch this week if the Jets can't get Elijah Vera Tucker back, because their backups have really struggled. And then I think one of the backups is DNP as well. I think Jake Hansen is the lead backup. Is he not? I'm double checking their depth chart right now. But yeah, so it's like wild. So Tucker, yeah, Hansen's their backup.
So that right guard position is going to be, because Vera Tucker didn't practice for the second day in a row today. So we're looking at, would they move
Lindstrom Fashanu maybe,
inside, or would they put Fashanu inside?
I don't know, man. That's a lot to ask a rookie that's not very good right now. I think Fashanu, by the way, I think Fashanu is going to be super good.
Hasn't been this year. Well, probably what it is the fact he hasn't been getting reps.
Right, 100%. And he needed a ton of reps. I mean, it was one of the things we talked about coming out. And so I don't know what they're going to do. So both guards are on the injury report. And then the lead backup for the right guard position is on the injury report. They don't list a left guard backup, by the way. So that's, that's something. So it's like this wild situation that, Max Mitchell, who's their backup right tackle, he's been mostly bad playing, and he played left guard against the Texans. So he probably gets the start. I wonder if he's like their swing tackle type. I'm looking at who else could possibly, I mean, geez, Jess, I don't know. Xavier Newman? Who is that? I don't even see that guy on the roster anymore. So maybe, I mean, it's one of those where they might, like the Cardinals did when they had to start the dude that got hurt and then ended up on the IR, one game.
Jackson Barton.
Yeah, Jackson Barton. Like, it's probably going to end up like that, man, because it's just not pretty. So that's a huge opportunity. I don't want to say advantage, because I think that's going to get misconstrued. I think that's an opportunity for the Cardinals there. And then the other one that'll be interesting, because again, with the injuries in the secondary, Ashton Davis is the other one, and he's showing up on the injury report as well.
He's coming out of concussion protocol, but it looks like he's on track to play. He was full today.
Okay.
So it looks like he'll probably be back.
Yeah, I knew both safeties were on. I just couldn't remember which one. And then Michael Carter's their nickel. And so, like, three guys down in a secondary that's very good, don't get me wrong, but, like, once you start testing that depth, it becomes different, right? And so it'll be interesting to see how that comes about this week, because I do think without C.J. Mosley, they've got Jamien Sherwood and as the guy that's probably going to have to be doing a lot of the work against against Trey McBride, right? And so I think there's an opportunity this week to see McBride have another big day. So those are the matchups to watch in this one, Jess, because this is I mean, this is just one that it makes zero sense. Let's be honest. Like, there's just there's zero rhyme or reason for this game to be looked at in this way. And so we'll have to see what happens.
Coming up next on the Rise of Spirit podcast, it's our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move to the portion where we make our picks and predictions and take a look at some of the odds that you've got out there. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Spirit podcast, it's our Cardinals talk on the web. Looking at the, well, actually, so we talked the game, we talked the Jets, we got matchups. Now it's time to make predictions. The Cardinals went from 1-point favorites to 1.5-point underdogs in the last hour. Literally, it happened during the show. I had the odds open to start the show, and it was, as it's been basically all week, I think the Cardinals opened at 1.5-point favorites. It was 1 point most of the week, and then suddenly 1.5-point underdogs, which I'm leaning toward the Cardinals because their defense, especially playing at home, some of those defensive benchmarks that we want to see. They did really well on third down against the Bears. They came up big late in the game against the Dolphins. And here's the truth of it with this game. I believe the Jets are a team where if they face a little adversity in the first half, they will fold. Not to the levels like what we saw the Bears. The Bears literally gave up on this in the second half. And I'm not going to say Caleb Williams didn't, but the rest of the team sort of just went. And I think that the way this Jets team is wound up is they are waiting for some momentum. Sorry to those of you guys out there that don't believe in momentum. Jonathan Gannon, sorry, no momentum. But I think they're banking on to be able to get rolling. And if they face again a little bit of adversity, they will crack. And I don't know if they'll be able to handle it because, yeah, I just don't think they will. So I think the Cardinals are going to win this game. I think I'm going to, I don't know. I get the feeling they're going to win this game. And I think that they're going to keep the Jets under 20 points.
What I'm interested in kind of looking, so this is what flipped it. Just James Conner came out on the injury report today with a finger injury that makes him limited. So
I was limited yesterday too, but you don't think that
finger's
going to keep him out.
That's yeah, I would agree. But so that's the, I think, cause they also pulled his props. Cause when we started, he had his props on FanDuel. So they've pulled his rushing props off FanDuel since then. So that'll be what to watch. And I think that's kind of what it is. And I think you and I would both agree with our statement. Everything we say is with James Conner being able to play 100% of his normal snaps, not necessarily being at 100%, but playing 100% of his normal snaps. You know, not that we dislike Trey Benson by any means, but he's not, you know, James Conner, is he not? So that, I think that's how we would talk about anything we're doing. I'm going to stay the way I've stayed, Jess, and just, you know, be the I don't want to say Debbie Downer, but I want to see this team. And they have. So, again, I'm not taking anything away from them, but I want to see this team continue to stack wins. I mean, and I think this game could be similar to the Chargers game. So the question becomes, can they get, you know, down and score again as time expires, or how does that work out? So I'm gonna say this one is low scoring, as you said. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm going to go Jets 20, Cards 17 in this one. So
that's kinda the same score you picked for the Cardinals Bears. So I like it. I like it. Seth throwing the reverse jinx on him. And I'm going to go the Cardinals win this one, and they're going to show that the Jets are good in red zone, but I think the Cardinals are going to find success. I'm going to say 24-19. 24-19. The Cardinals play well in the red zone and hold the Jets to field goals, kind of keeping with that same type of vibe that they've been doing defensively. So yeah, 24-19 is my prediction. So we'll see how that goes. Let's look at some of the props there. So obviously, you like the Jets to cover. We both like the under. Holy cow, at 46.5. I don't know why anyone. I don't know why anyone is. Let's look at the alternate totals.
I was going to say, unless people really think that the Cardinals are going to put up 28 plus again, and the Jets are going to do the same.
Yeah, but so I like a slower game. So let's see, 23-19, 24-19. So let's drop that to, so you can start getting plus odds at 44.5. You ratchet that down. So like, if you like what Seth's saying, go under 40.5 and it's plus 165. Under 38, if you want to go really, if you want to get it really tight, or maybe you want to ladder those, you get plus 220. Under 38 is plus 220 on BetMGM. And if you just go with a little reasonable, say under 44.5, under 44, plus 105, plus 115, it just gets you in that plus range. By the way, for Seth's prediction last week, the one thing that he did nail, as we talked about, if you liked Seth's total, if you had gone with the alternate total of under 40, you would have cashed in nicely last week against the Bears.
Yeah, and that'll be what's interesting this week, because it feels like this is going to be a low-scoring game. I'm with you. I don't see the 46.5 coming. Now, to be fair, I don't think Vegas does either, because it's a slight, you know, slightly higher at minus 105. And the fact that the Jets at minus 1.5 or minus 108 tells me that nobody's really confident in this game, which kind of makes sense with how we kind of broke it down, right? Because it's like, yeah. Nobody has any idea what to expect, because the Jets should be better. I mean, that's just the reality, and not saying better than the Cardinals, just better than they are. And so
here's an interesting fun fact is the fact, you know, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers should be what you'd consider a nationally betting team. It's a national team that bettors are going to bet on the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers. But if we look at, and which makes the shift even more interesting to me, because the Cardinals were favored, and even so, 54% of the money line is on the Cardinals. 57% of the spread is on the Cardinals. And that's with just normally, if you were trying to shift it so that you get more Jets bets, you would have slid the line in favor of the Cardinals, like maybe moving it to minus 2. But still, it's the Cardinals are in favor. And this, I don't get, 53% of the handle is on the over for this game. I'm like, y'all been watching the Jets and the Cardinals? I don't know.
I know, right? Like 21-13 last week or whatever the Jets score was. And I know the Cardinals put up 29, but I get it. You come off back-to-back games where you put up 57 points. People go, oh, they're on a roll defensively or offensively, and the Jets defense isn't great, but I just don't see it, man. Like, I just don't see that hitting. And by the way, Jess and I will come back maybe next week or maybe the week after and truly admit that we're wrong. It's just, I don't see it.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of rushing props, you do get on BetMGM, you do get James Conner. The total put at the set at 78.5. That's,
yeah, he was 76.5 on FanDuel. So it was, I mean, they're expecting him to get the work. So I'm curious what the reality is of that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So I, you know, Breece Hall, it's over 67.5. Kyler's, you know, this one might be one to take, because that you know, last couple of weeks I'm not running much. It's 27.5 for Kyler, and yeah, what we haven't seen in a little bit is him go off for those 50-yard games. which, you know, 27.5 at minus 115, and then the alternate rushing total of 50 plus is plus 333 on Kyler if you're looking that in, and especially if you see him escaping some rush to get some plays, that one might be one to look at, because we haven't seen it in a bit, which means it's probably due.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the other side of that, Breece Hall, 65.5. Typically, I'd be all over that. I really like that, but I'm more interested in his like total yards from scrimmage. I think he's going to kill the Cardinals just all around. But I wouldn't be shocked if it was like a 60-60 split or like a 60-50 split, and he doesn't hit that 65.5. So the ones I'm looking at is, I like his over rushing and receiving yards, which is 99.5. I would take the over on that. And I would be comfortable taking that up to 125. You might say that's crazy, but 95 is only 60-65 each, you know, so it's, and they love to use him out of the backfield. I think he had a bunch of catches either last week or the week before. So I like that number for Hall this week. Double check. Yeah, he had, so last week, oh no, sorry, it was 3 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, he had 6 receptions. So like that's the other thing I like about this, is that he's a guy that can go, you know, have a game where he gets less than 40 yards rushing, but has, you know, 90 yards receiving. He reminds me a lot of David Johnson in his prime.
You know what's funny? If you're looking at touchdown scores on BetMGM, a guy that you probably wouldn't have given any thought, Amari DiMercato, both he and Trey Benson, after scoring a touch, you know, you want their anytime touchdown odds are +220. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And DiMercato on FanDuel's at still +350, but Benson's -120, Jess. So what? I wonder
little inside information.
Yeah, a hedge just in case Connor isn't playing. The one I do like this week to keep an eye on, if you are wanting to take one, Elijah Higgins +1500.
Oh,
I like that one. Tyler Conklin +430. Those are the two like longer shots.
Okay, the BetMGM is starting to do the slowing down on the touchdown bets, because Higgins is only +800 here.
Yeah. So they're throttling odds, which, I mean, that definitely happens as seasons go along and books get killed. The one receiving, or I shouldn't say one, but the receiving things I would look at in this game, I like Trey. He's over 40.5. I would take that. I would take that up to 70 yards. So +240 on FanDuel. I like that. And with that, I would take his receptions at 6+ as well. So those are, I think he's going to get spammed in this game. I think that's going to be a big part of their offense to get things done and keep the ball moving in this week. Everybody else is, I just look, Garrett Wilson, phenomenal. Davante Adams, phenomenal. Marvin Harrison, phenomenal. I'm not messing with their overs. They're all reasonable. So like if you took them, I would understand, but there's not been the consistency for any of the three to feel like you're getting good action there.
You know what seems like a slam dunk for a defensive bet, and that is for Buda Baker over 8.5 tackles plus assists at -115. He's hit 12 the last two games. He's had 5 games of double digits, though granted his 4 other games are at 7 and at 8, so it's right there. Like when he goes over 8, it's in double digits, but as we've noted, Buda's playing out of his mind right now. He's playing as good as we've seen him play, and that's with just straight tackles. Apparently he leads the NFL in solo tackles right now, which is wild.
Yeah, which is not great for your defense, if we're being completely honest. Typically, you want that to be a linebacker, but but it's great for Buddha, and he's playing at a high level. And we talked about that the other day, right? Like, it's at the point now where you're saying, like, you have to re-sign this guy at this point. So,
yeah.
That'll be something to watch. The other thing to look at, Justin, and you mentioned it, but like the totals, right? So the Cardinals total is 23.5, and then the Jets totals 23.5. So, you know, for me, I would take the under on both those. I don't like those totals, but it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out overall. But, you know, this is going to be a good one, Jess, because I think there's just so many question marks. We could see a plethora of outcomes. I mean, you mentioned kind of sapping the will from the Jets. There is a scenario I can see the Arizona Cardinals getting their doors blown off, right?
Like, yes, like you said, that is the one thing I'm mildly worried about. Although, interesting factoid, the last time Aaron Rodgers won in State Farm Stadium was the 2009 regular season finale.
And that's the thing. But as you mentioned so astutely, they're desperate. So, like, desperate teams can go one way or the other, and I know that's kind of a cop out, but they can, like, they can come out incredibly focused, incredibly locked in, incredibly ready to, you know, get themselves back into the fight. 4-6 is a much different thing than 3-7, as you mentioned. You know, coincide that with the Cardinals being on a bye the next week. Are they looking ahead? Like, are they like, hey, we 500 at the bye. That was the goal all along. We're there. We're where we want to be. You know, those are all things that are concerned. I don't see it happening, but that's the scenario. The other scenario, which you painted, Jess, is the Cardinals get out to a 14-0 type of lead. And this Jets team, with what has been an odd year, fold, and the Cardinals just kind of blow their doors off at 28, you know, to
like
nothing.
28-10 time type game.
Yeah, where you know, the Jets just look like it's over. And so those are two scenarios that are on the fringes that I could see coming. But I think in the end, it's going to be a really competitive, close game. And the Cardinals are going to have a great opportunity to push their win streak to 4 in a row.
Yeah, that's great. That's crazy. let's look at this. So, interceptions. You think Aaron Rodgers throws an interception? You can get him over half an interception at +115.
Hey, I like that. Yeah, and again, the things to stay away from this week, and I think you and I both agree, like, I would stay away from Kyler throwing an interception. I don't have that available yet to bet, but the Jets don't intercept the ball. Doesn't mean that it won't happen. It's just the odds aren't great. I would stay away from Kyler's passing yards, because this could be a game where, as Jess mentioned, they run for 300 yards in a game. And you're like, yeah, okay. So, like, those are the two things I would stay away from in this week. But after that, I think, you know, this is going to be a fun one, man. And I'm looking forward to it. And as long as they continue to play at a very highly competitive rate, it'll be fun to see how this turns out.
Yep. That, with that, let's wrap up this edition of the show, the Rise of Spirit podcast. Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, episode 613. We will be back next week, heading into the bye. We might do two shows next week. I don't have a preview show with an opponent because it'll be the bye week. Maybe there's something else. Maybe we can talk bets around the NFL. Maybe we can talk whatever after that, something else. But we'll talk Cardinals Jets come next week, and maybe that'll be it. We'll see. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.